All right, Romans chapter 8. Get everything situated here. I've learned this the hard way numerous times, but one of the great dangers in the Christian life is overconfidence, right? 1 Corinthians 10:12 tells us, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Proverbs 16:18 tells us, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." And of course, the Bible's filled with examples of that. You've got the children of Israel, Jericho falls. Filled with some confidence, perhaps. Here's little Ai, this unwalled city. No concern. Let's not even send the whole army. That tiny people send them running back with the tails between their legs. David, all his enemies subdued all around him. He's taken out Goliath. He's taken out the Philistines. He's overcome the oppressions of Saul. Everything's great. Doesn't even have to go and fight the children of Ammon. Stays home and sees Bathsheba. Defeated in the greatest way of his life. Then there's Peter. Jesus tells the disciples, gives them a great warning. He says, "All of you shall be offended because of me this night." He's going to get arrested. They're going to be scattered. As the shepherd's smitten, the sheep are going to be scattered. Time for Peter to get on his knees and pray. Instead, Peter defends himself. "Though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Of course, we know where that led, right? Very soon the cock was crowing. Peter's denied the Lord three times. He goes out and he weeps bitterly. He's utterly defeated by his sinful fears. Danger to be overconfident. You're headed for a fall. You're walking into a trap when you think you can handle it. With that in mind, we come to the text. And it sounds overconfident, perhaps, at first. It is definitely one of the most confident statements ever made in Scripture. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" in verse 35. "Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors." More than conquerors. Literally, that means super conquerors. We don't just defeat the enemy, we utterly rout the enemy. It's a bold statement. And you wonder as you read that, well, is Paul walking into the same foolish trap that Peter and so many others have walked into before? Is he leading us down that path that's going to lead us to a great fall? Well, no. You see, this statement is not self-righteous boasting. It's godly faith. We've studied Romans 8. This is the 12th lesson, sermon, that we've had on this blessed chapter. Don't know if you got tired of it yet. I haven't got tired of it. But it is, Lord willing, the last of this series. But it's been a humbling chapter. We've been humbled by it. I hope you've been humbled. It doesn't build man up at all. It humbles us. Notice what we're called there in verse 36. What are we called? Sheep. Sheep. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. It's a pretty humbling term. I don't think you could find a wimpier animal than a sheep. That's what we are. You know, I used to have toy animals as a boy. As boys will do, match those animals up and they all fought themselves. Or fought each other. You know, so I'd put the lion and I'd match him up against the bear and they'd fight one another. Or I'd throw the elephant or the rhinoceros in there or whatever. The sheep is left over in the corner. What's a sheep gonna do? It's gonna stand there and get slaughtered and eaten, right? That's what happens to sheep. They're not gonna fight and defend themselves at all. And the Scripture tells us that's what you are. You are sheep. You are helpless to overcome your enemies. You're helpless to overcome your temptations. You're helpless to be able to handle anything on your own, to find your own way. You can't even find your own green pastures and still waters. You're helpless. It's humbling. The confidence isn't in us. It's in the Good Shepherd. That's where the confidence lies. There's a Good Shepherd that's taking care of us. The basis for the whole study is Romans 8:28. God's work for our good. That's the title of the series. And Romans 8:28, this is the core of the whole chapter. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. This chapter is about what God does for us. And that's the confidence. God chose us in His grace. God saves us by His grace. God keeps us by His grace. God empowers us by His grace. God accomplishes wonderful things through us all by grace. He's doing good. And so because of Him, we're more than conquerors. I want us to lay hold of that as we close out this series. I want us to think about what does it mean to be more than conquerors? Why is it that we can boldly say we're more than conquerors? And most of all, I want you to take your life, I want you to apply it to what you're going to do when you walk out that door, what you've been doing before you came here. Are you conquering? That's what I want you to think about. So let's get into this. Just 2 points that we have. The accomplishment of our victory, of our conquering, and the assurance of our conquering. This is where our focus. Number one, what does the accomplishment of it, what does more than conquerors really mean? Why not just conquer? Why more than conquerors? Why are we super? How are we super conquerors? A couple things struck me as I was meditating on this. Number one, because our victory is universal, we are more than conquerors. And when I use the word universal, what I mean is that the triumph is not just for a select, very few faithful and mature Christians. It's not just for the Apostle Paul or Charles Spurgeon or Adoniram Judson. This conquest takes place in the life of every single believer that's ever lived. Every believer, every child of God is a conqueror. Take it from Christ Himself, John 6:39. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up again. Raise him up at the last day. Great victories tend to have a great cost. D-Day. Where the Allied troops invaded Normandy and began the conquest of the German-held nations on the European continent, that was a great victory. But you know what? There were 209,000 casualties. The beach was strewn with the dead men that gave their lives to conquer and get that foothold there in Europe. Generally, victories have to leave many behind. They can't take part in the victory. They can't celebrate. They are the price of the victory. But we come to this conquering of the text, and we see every single one of us, every single one of the children of God that have gone forward to the battle will stand more than conquerors at the end. Not a single casualty will be lost. Not one of them taken away, not one of their faith ruined, none that Satan can sift as wheat or consume as a roaring lion. They're all there with Christ. And you think about it, all the different individuals, that's pretty amazing. You got some, they're like the thief on the cross. God saves them after a life of sin. They're dying breaths. They turn to Christ. They find hope and joy, and they're brought to glory. Beautiful thought. But there are others, perhaps even more beautiful. The Lord saves them at a young age, and they go through 80 years of spiritual battle. Both individuals God brings to the end. Whether it's been a day or whether it's been 80, 90 years, God sustains them. There are some that, like Peter, have fallen in many foolish and sinful ways, and yet God in His grace keeps them and lifts them back up. There are some that, like the Apostle Paul, that have faced all kinds of beating and persecution and hardships, many tribulations, yet God leads them through them all. All of us come to the end of the journey, and all of us can rejoice one day with Christ. It's a universal victory. What an amazing thought. You see why we're more than conquerors? Because we all conquer. If you are a true believer, you say, what about the people that fall? And what about the people that turn from the faith? What about the people that give up? Well, if someone utterly turns from the Lord, if someone dies in their sin after making a profession, that's all it was. They were always conquered. But those that truly belong to God, everyone is kept to the end. So the victory is universal. Number two, the victory is incredible. We're more than conquerors because of the obstacles that we overcome. And there are some great obstacles. We see it right here in the text. Great trials, first of all, that we're facing. Verse 35 speaks of tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. There is no health and wealth, as far as this world's concerned, gospel in the Bible. It's not your better life now, as far as the riches of this world are concerned anyway. There's a cross you gotta take when the Lord saves you. You gotta take it up, you gotta follow Christ. There's trials. We must through great tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. We face the sicknesses, we face the pain, we face the loss that everyone that's a non-believer faces. But there's a sense in which the believer faces it in a greater way. Notice what it says there in verse 36, as it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter." So it's not just that we suffer like the men of the world, we suffer for the Lord. We suffer for His sake. God leads us into situations where we have to neglect this world. We have to give up the comforts of this world. We have to sacrifice. God leads us into situations where we've got to go forward into a ministry that's going to bring some persecution from the world. God leads us into a place where we've got to fight the flesh that the world is enjoying, and we've got to battle it continually. And that's hard. That's painful. There are these obstacles that we face every single day for the cause of Christ. I described it, I think, last week. I said we're swimming up current. The world's just laying back. They're floating with the current of the world. They're going with the flow. We're battling the current. We're fighting that flesh every single day. You may not have the same temptations that I have, the same struggles, the same fears, but you have something you have to fight. And so we're beating against that current. We're fighting upstream. And it would seem that it would be so easy for us to get washed away, for us to get overcome, that it would just be too much. But if you're a true believer, you know a little bit about what Paul says. We're not perfect. We have our times of struggle. But at the heart of our faith is this testimony. In Acts 20, verse 24, facing the trials at the end of his ministry, he says, "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God." That's the heart of a believer. We overcome the obstacles. We can also say we've got some very real enemies that rise up against us. Supernatural enemies are mentioned in verse 38. We read about angels, principalities, powers. I don't understand it all, but it's a scriptural reality. There are some fearful foes out there that are against us, and they're against us every day. At 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." So here we are. We're sheep facing a lion. I wouldn't put much money, if I was a betting man, on the sheep. I wouldn't give it much of a chance against the roaring lion. What can we do against this mighty fallen archangel Lucifer and all the powers that follow him, and his one focus, His primary goal is to sway this world into sin, and particularly to put out the light of the church, to stamp out the testimony of God's people, to lead us all into sin. He's got the world at His disposal, and, well, He's got my own wicked desires to pull upon. How do we handle this? And yet Jesus says of His church, He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let Satan with all his hosts come with full force. He will not prevail against one of my people. That's the promise. There in our text is the greatest enemy of all. Death. I'm persuaded that neither death, verse 38, you say, surely this is the destroyer of all of our hopes. This is the crusher of man's dreams. You can take the smartest, you can take the most powerful, most influential man in this world. He cannot overcome death. Death ruins everything. Death takes everyone. But it doesn't destroy the hope of the believer. Hebrews 11:13 speaks of the Old Testament saints. They did not even live to see Christ. We can look back at the gospel, rejoice at the risen Savior. They could only look forward with the types, these shadows of the promise to come. But they had faith that death could not extinguish. These all died in faith. Isn't that beautiful? They died in faith. They didn't lose their faith in death. They died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. The Apostle Paul sings it out in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. You talk about a bold statement. Here's a bold statement. Here's this greatest enemy, and he's singing in victory over it. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory, victory over death, through our Lord Jesus Christ. I've had the blessing to see it. I never like those moments where I've got to sit by somebody's bedside and they're in those last moments, and they're in that pain, they're in that uncomfortable situation, and there's the sorrow, and there's the loss, and the physical suffering that they're going through. But I've seen the victory with some saints in this church. Some of the brethren in this church. I've seen them face death with that hope of Hebrews 11. I've seen that confidence. I've seen them ready to leave it all behind and to be with Christ. This is the reality of the Christian life, that despite everything that's against us, even facing death itself, we are more than conquerors. The magnitude of our foes reveals the greatness of our victory. We're more than conquerors because our victory is continual. It's a continual victory. Now, there are a lot of false professors in this world. They had their day of victory, and that's enough for them. You know, they came down the aisle, they prayed their prayer, they got baptized, they made their profession of faith, they claimed their religion. Victory was won that day. It was emotional, it felt good, and then they go right back out to the world, live like they always did. They won the victory. That's not a victory. It's not a day of victory, it's a daily victory. It's got to be a continual one. The true child of God takes up his cross and follows Christ daily. Gets on his knees and cries out to God, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hebrews 3:14, for we are made partakers of Christ if. There's the word if there. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. That doesn't mean that somebody is a true believer, they lose their salvation, but it means that if you're a true believer, you hold your confidence, your faith, you cling to Christ steadfast, not just on the day of conversion, but day by day until the very end. You get up every single day, and there's a new battle that's raging. You've found victory today. You conquered by God's grace. You overcame the temptations. Maybe you fell and you repented and you got right with God. He lifted you back up and you're serving Him once again, but you got to go out tomorrow and here's a new attack. Guarantee you there's another attack. There's another attack this afternoon. There's trials that you got to go through. There's fears you got to overcome. There's Satan coming against you like a roaring lion again. He doesn't stop as long as he's in this world. Daily there are battles. Romans 8:36, we are killed all the day long. And yet through it all, there's victory. Victory after victory. The heart of the believer, as it says in Philippians 3:14, this is the testimony of the true Christian. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I keep pressing. I don't give up. I don't let up. The race is not over. As long as I'm in the race, I'm going to keep running. The battle is not over. As long as it's raging, I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep that whole armor of God. And I'm going to fight against these lusts of the flesh. I'm going to fight against these principalities and powers. I'm going to fight against these doubts and fears. And I'm going to keep on serving. By God's grace, by His love to me, I get up and I fight a new battle. And I win a new victory. This isn't a cause for boasting. We're going to talk about this, believers. This shouldn't fill you with pride at all. But we have millions of victories in our lives. If you're sitting here, you're a Christian here today, and you're rejoicing in the gospel, and you're singing out these songs from your heart, you truly are trusting in Christ today as in the day you were saved, you've won millions of victories by God's grace. Again, not a cause for pride, a cause to give Him praise. But He's given you millions of victories. It's a conquest that goes on daily. What an awesome thought. What God does for us every single day. Finally, our victory is eternal. You know, men, when they go to war with one another, what do they want? Well, they want to get some temporary control of something. A nation. Riches. Influence. And they're trying to get it for at least a little while, but I always think of what man tries to get in this world. It's like trying to hold water in your hands, right? Just runs right out. They can kind of keep it in for a little while, but eventually it's going to all flow away. Eventually they're going to lose it. It's very temporary. What man conquers in this world is so quickly gone. Again, death, the greatest enemy of all, takes it away. What does Alexander the Great have today? What does Julius Caesar have today? What does Napoleon have today? What do all these great men of history have? They have a little bit of history they've left for people to remember, but they're gone. Their reward is banished with them. Their conquest is forgotten. Their monuments have crumbled. But the believer, their conquest brings an everlasting prize. I read it often. Because I love this text so much, and that's Revelation 21. And the promise that is before us is God's people. It says, God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. There is a finality to the victory. As I said right now, we got to get up and every day fight that new battle. Face that enemy again. There's going to come a time when that's going to stop. When the victory's complete, when the work is done, and all the tears are wiped away, there's no more pain, there's no more sorrowing, there's no more loss, there's no more sin, there's no more struggle, because the tabernacle of God is with men. He's brought us to glory. And there's a reward there. There is a joy that we'll have that puts every bit of the struggle into perspective. Nobody's going to get the glory and wonder if it's worth it. Now the prize is worth the effort of the battle. Perfect fellowship with God forever and ever. His comfort, His love, His blessings upon me. I'm more than a conqueror because of the magnitude of the reward that lies before me. That lies before you if you're a Christian here today. You see how wonderful this thought is? How exciting it ought to be to us? I get jealous of the world as much as the next person. I think, man, I wish I was successful as that person. I made as much money. I had as much influence. I was as popular as that person. How foolish to envy the world when we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. What's a successful life? A successful life is to be a child of God. A successful life is by His grace to get up and fight those battles every day and to serve Him and to be used of Him. So one day we can take that crown that He gives us as our reward and we can cast it before His feet and we can say, Thou art worthy. More than a conqueror. Something to rejoice in today. But how can we find assurance in this? How do we know we're more than conquerors? Let me remind you, this isn't about confidence in yourself. This isn't self-righteousness. If you are thinking you're going to conquer by your strength, you're in the same place as Peter. And you're headed for a fall. Paul's not saying look internally. He's saying look to God. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. The lion comes after the sheep. It's going to tear it to pieces. But there stands before the sheep a good shepherd. And he's got a rod and a staff. And he protects them. That's why we conquer. It's really Him that conquers. But He uses us. He works through us for this wondrous conquest. As we close out the series, let's talk about what it is about God's love that gives us assurance. That gives us this comfort. And consider if you know this love in your life today. Number one, we can be persuaded of this victory, this conquest, because God's love is proven. It's proven love. Verse 32, we looked at last week, these unanswerable questions. We'll go back to verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Remember, we talked about how Paul went from the greater to the lesser. He proved the lesser promise by showing the greater ones fulfilled. If God loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that He sent Him to that cross, and as Jesus hung there in agony, suffering the judgment for your sins, and He cries, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And God the Father did not spare, because His purpose to save you was so great. His love to redeem you was so great. He didn't spare His only begotten Son. I think we can trust His love daily and for our future. It's a proven love. And you can't prove it more than how He's proved it. Brethren, it's a sinful thing to question it. It's a wicked thing for us to doubt it. Of course, we have scriptural promises that show us that the work was done. Christ isn't in the grave. He came out of the tomb. He's ascended to the right hand of God where He ever lives to intercede for His people. We read in verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Ephesians 4:8 says, He ascended up on high, and He led captivity captive, and gave gifts to men. So this is what that's telling us. It's telling us that in a real sense, even though you've got to get up every day, and you've got to face the temptations of Satan, and you've got to face the wickedness of this world, they are all defeated foes already. Satan's the accuser of the brethren. This is what he wants to do. He wants to find a way to prove you unworthy of God's love. He wants to find a way to something to point at you and say, see, he deserves judgment. See, this world is corrupted and evil. It's ruined in sin. And the purpose of God has failed. Jesus is there in glory with the wounds in His hands and in His side and in His feet. And there's no accusation that can be made against Him. The work is done. The redemption is accomplished. The blood has washed away our sins. They're cast as far as the east is from the west. It's a proven love. Surely as that work is accomplished, Jesus will present me faultless before the throne one day. So we can look back and we find confidence. But we can be persuaded of victory because God's love is providing today. It wasn't just proven yesterday. It is providing for me today and every day. I like what it says in Revelation 12:11. These are saints in the last day, but I think it's very true of believers today. Satan oppresses us. We got all those principalities and powers. We got to fight them. But it says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. So Jesus was victorious at Calvary, but the battle goes on in a practical way every single day. We got to still go out and fight to obey Him and to trust Him, but the victory goes on every day too, because we are conquering through the blood of the Lamb, through His redemption. We find grace every day to overcome, to find that victory, to conquer. Specifically because He shed the Spirit, shed abroad the Spirit in our hearts to apply that redemption to us. And what is the Spirit doing? The Spirit's convicting us of sin when we go astray. The Spirit is guiding us in the Word, in the truth of Scripture. The Spirit is giving us boldness and strength for the ministry that God has before us. The Spirit's given us a peace that passes understanding, that keeps our heart and mind. God is at work in us. That's the reality of the Holy Spirit. There are many people like the Corinthians. They were looking for some kind of ecstatic, emotional experience from the Holy Spirit. The joy of the Holy Spirit is that God is living in me, and through me, He's conquering these lusts of the flesh. He's conquering these fears and these doubts, and He's using this weakened, pathetic vessel as a mighty instrument for His glory. God's love is providing for me every day. And you need to take this and apply it in a real way. You've got some fears out there. You've got some struggles you're going through. Maybe you've got some sins that you're really battling in your life, and you're looking internally and you're saying, I can't do it. Look to Him. We're more than conquerors, not through ourselves, but Him that loved us. And He'll give you grace. He'll give you victory. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. David said, the Lord is, in Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Hebrews 13, verse 5, God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. That's the boast of the Christian. That's the boast of the mature child of God. It's not that we mature more and more and start to edge away from God and start to handle things better on our own and start to get more self-confidence. That we get closer to God. That we become more like a little child depending on Him. But as He's always there, as He lives within us, as that love is evident every day, we find confidence to go out and conquer. His love is providing. Last of all, God's love is promised. We can all think of many among men that have let us down in their assurances. And sometimes that's because they were dishonest. They're just lying to you. A lot of times, though, they're actually an honest and kind person, but they just aren't powerful enough to do what they said they were going to do. They come short of their promises. I have to say, as a dad, I've come short. My kids would probably tell you stories of how I've come short of some things that I wanted to do and I forgot. Or I just wasn't able to do it. I just had to say I'm sorry. When we're talking about what God promises in His love, when we're talking about a promised victory, we're talking about what Jesus said in John chapter 6, none of them will be lost. Every one of them will have everlasting life. Bank on it. Trust it. Rejoice in it. This is a promise from God. Titus 1 verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. It is not possible for an immutable, omniscient, loving God, omnipotent God, to fail. His attributes reveal that He can't lie, that He can't tell us something that He doesn't follow through on and accomplish in a perfect manner. He's a God that we can absolutely trust, for the word of the Lord is right and all His works are done in truth. His Bible is a beautiful record of that. We see how that took place. Adam, Abraham, Israel, David, the church. He's never failed one time to provide for His people, but we can see it not just biblically, we can see it personally. We can see what He's done for us day in and day out. Each of you, if you're a true believer, can look back at some things in your life and you see how God came through in His promises. And if you're really looking to God and your heart is right, you can't see a failure. Some things I don't understand, that I won't know fully what He was doing until I come to glory, but none of His promises have or will ever fail. And this is the promise of Romans chapter 8. Nothing is going to stop His good purpose to us. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. In all the things that we face, we are going to be more than conquerors through Him that loved us. That's the promise. And His name is at stake in fulfilling that for us. Let's put our confidence in Him, believers. His love is promised. One day, we're going to reach the end of all these battles. And again, there's going to be a crown given to us. What an amazing thing. Though all is of grace, there is rewards. There is a cry from the Savior, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But we take that crown and we cast it before Him. And we sing it out. In Revelation 5:9, we sing, "Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth." Revelation 5:12, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." The point of the series, the whole focus that we have, is that you come to this point even today. It's not enough just that we get a little bit of comfort, that our fears are dimmed a little bit. I want us to turn from lamentation to worship. I want us to turn from sorrowing and doubting and fearing to praising God, even though we're not yet in glory, even though we do got to go out those doors and face some new battles. We can already praise Him. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Oh, don't go out there with self-confidence. Don't go out there thinking you can handle it. Don't go out there with the boasting of the Pharisee. But if you're going out with a cry for God's mercy on your lips, if you're going out with a heart focused on Him, with all your hope in Jesus Christ who gave His life for you and has risen again and intercedes, and God the Father who loves you as His dear child, you can go out with that confidence. And that's what I want for you. And you can face your sickness. You can face your temptation. You can face your fears. You can face your mistreatment and persecution. You can face all these things in the world. You can face them with boldness. And know God will give you grace to overcome. Don't take it from me. Get into the Word. Meditate on these things. Make them your own. Can you take these promises to heart as a child of God? Do you know Jesus is your Savior? Do you know God's love is upon you through Him? Then you can be more than a conqueror through Him that loved you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank You. You brought us here today. You brought everyone here under the preaching of Your Word. And You've given us this blessed chapter to study. And what a wonderful several months we've had looking at these promises, looking at these amazing statements, not just made of a man, but given to us from You. An assurance of Your divine love that's been upon us since the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world, eternally, Your love is upon us. And it's a proven love through the gift of Your Son. It's proven through the work You've done in our heart. It's proven day by day in the victories that You give us and in the forgiveness and mercies You bestow upon us, even as we struggle. And it'll be proven in the last day as we're brought to glory. Lord, we praise You. We give You all the praise and glory that's due Your name. But we pray for Your hand upon our lives, that we would take this chapter and we'd keep it in our hearts as we go back out to the world. And we face our struggles, we face our fears, we face our sorrows. Lord, give us the comfort of Romans 8. Help us to know and never doubt You're working all things together for good, according to Your wondrous love to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.